I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
Welcome to Rich Text, a podcast about our cultural obsessions, like reunion specials that the Lachey's actually seemed somewhat prepared to host. Perhaps they even received some sort of media training over the past few months.
A shocking development. If you're listening today, you're already a paid subscriber to our audio and written newsletter, Rich Text. Thank you, as always, for being here. You quite literally make our work possible.
We are here today in a quick turnaround taping session.
We are dedicated.
Yes. We watched the Love is Blind season 6 reunion last night. First thing in the morning, here we are, ready to talk it through. We also finished watching the second season of The Traitors and The Traitors reunion. We have a lot to say about that too. So hold on through the Love is Blind discussion to the end of the show if you want to hear about The Traitors, because we had a lot of fun breaking down the last half of the season. But first, let's actually, should we like sit across from each other and talk to each other with our cameras off and then just get the vibe right and then be like, ooh, I like your voice. And then maybe we can like dance through our apartments, seeing what's up in every room.
Yeah,
I feel like that's how every show should start.
Discover some friends in several of the rooms. Maybe they'll be making out in a completely unstaged way.
The opening of this reunion was, I found so irritating. They were like, we're doing something different. And I didn't like it. I'm sorry. They tried. It didn't work for me.
I think it didn't bother me that much because 2 years ago was such an abject disaster. Last year's reunion, I have completely memory holed.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't good. They have such a history of doing the least at these reunions that I was like, oh, it looks like some resources have been dedicated to this reunion. It looks like maybe Nick and Vanessa have been prepped in some capacity. So I don't care that this is irritating. Yeah. I'm feeling good.
Well, that's what they were going for, right? They're like, this is our hard reset for reunions.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to be the big one that you remember now. It's not going to be one where we couldn't get the stream to work. And Nick and Vanessa didn't ask any follow-up questions. It's going to be this one.
Except
we have
about
skits.
Wombs.
We have camera tricks, except about wombs. And I think it just ended up kind of turning me off because they ended up leaning on one of the things that is already the most annoying about the Lachey shows, which is Nick and Vanessa trying to get us to care about their relationship. Like
that
it starts with
true.
Them like talking to each other in the pods and being like, oh yeah, this is really working for me. And I'm like, stop. I don't care.
I think they could
have done it,
but they could have trimmed about 75% of it. Like it should have been one little exchange between them. Then we get like I thought it was kind of fun. The backstage shots, the aerial shots of the set. Like,
right.
Okay, great. Move right along into that. We don't care about your relationship. You're just the hosts. We
it
know
exactly.
You're together.
It ended up feeling sort of in a weird way like we're doing like a live musical. You know what I mean? When they do like Grease
Thomas
live.
Kale. Yeah. Thomas Kail directed this.
Exactly. And I'm like, what if you captured that vibe, but with like zero of Nick and Vanessa flirting.
Exactly.
And zero of Tiff being caught sewing together Brett's trousers. Like, you know, just a little bit more of the visuals and the sense of space and bring us right onto the set because that's what we really care about.
Yeah, and I think they could have been like, here are some of the faves. Like, flash to each of them.
Totally.
But,
they brought back the faves, and that's
good. This
is
all to say that we are doing this reunion, or they did this reunion on the actual Love is Blind set in Los Angeles with an audience. It was not streamed live, thank God. And they are really doing a lot to remind us that this show has been successful once in a while. So a bunch of our favorite couples are there. Brett and Tiff, Brennan and Alexa, Chelsea and Kwame, Colleen and Matt, Gigi and Blake Horstman, who is, of course, a Bachelor alum, but she's still... Gigi is, it was our only season one representative. I was like, what happened to Lauren and Cam?
I know. We're really stretching the limits of what is meant by favorite so that they can have a full house. Like, I don't think that Colleen and Matt are a favorite couple.
I was like, oh,
Chelsea and
what's
Kwame.
Her name?
Yeah.
Honestly, I love Chelsea and Kwame. I was happy to see them.
But I don't think they're really fan faves. No, they're the couple that everyone is like, I can't believe they're still married.
That's why the two couples they chose to do the sketches were Brett and Tiff and Brennan and Alexa, because they are actual faves.
Exactly. And then it's like Izzy and Micah. Why are they there? Obviously, for reasons that will become clear later.
I guess they're on Perfect Match.
Yeah.
That, I think I texted that to you about two minutes into the reunion. I was like, so I assume the two of them are on Perfect Match.
Which, of course, because Izzy is so the Bartice of this season.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Or of his season, I should say. Also, of course, the Love is Blind season 6 pod squad is there. We have Amy and Johnny on stage, Clay and AD, Chelsea and Jimmy, Jessica, Brittany, Kenneth, and Trevor is backstage. They show him with like a ticking clock in his green room or green pod with like a countdown 30 minutes until we see Trevor. I really was like, there are just so many visual gimmicks and production elements that it felt like they were really trying to distract us from the possibility that Nick and Vanessa would not do a good job moderating this. But it does seem like they also invested in better prep for them this time.
Yeah, I did feel like that countdown. I was like, okay, so that means, because they're prepping us for it, that means they're going to address the text messages, everything that's come out about him. And I think a lot of people weren't sure if they were actually going to press him on that, because it had been reported that he's on Perfect Match season 2, which they did not announce last night. So I was like, oh, this is a good indication that the show has kind of turned on him along with the audience. Yeah.
I mean, they really don't have much choice, so I'm glad that they didn't try to pretend it didn't happen.
I was worried they were going to do something bullshitty.
And they do have a history of that, but it's never gone over well with the audience. And so then we start getting into basically like a montage of cute stuff that the happy couples from the show do. We see like a cute moment from Amy and Johnny, our only happily married couple from this season. They did like a really goofy JCPenney photo shoot with his sister and brother-in-law. I was like, I don't even know what I'm looking at right now, but Johnny had his hair in two pigtails and like an open denim shirt, and she was like wrapped around his leg. I wish I were there when this happened. And then we also look back at some of the other successful couples. There are 9 couples still married, which sounds amazing until you remember that there were 6 seasons with potentially up to 5 couples from each season. So suddenly it's looking like a pretty small ratio, but you know what? Good for them. It's not nothing. Vanessa did make those marriages and babies happen personally. And we also meet Blake as a franchise.
A big officially. Moment for us specifically, for that crossover Love is Blind and Bachelor Nation contingent. Yeah. This was a big moment for us.
It felt like an official almost passing of the torch. Like now The Bachelor is handing over cultural primacy to the new hot dating show of the moment, Love is Blind, and Blake is here to make that handoff with his partner. They reveal they're expecting a baby boy, and she's like, well, we don't know if he's going to look like Blake with like light eyes and skin, or if he's going to look more spicy like me, so we have a spicy name and a blue-eyed boy name picked out.
Okay.
So
we're not going to dig into that.
I'm just envisioning in the future a family of kids who like look slightly different from each other, and they've just been given
sorted
into two groups by name and also like slight variations in skin tone. Also with babies, you can't usually tell right away because their skin changes color. So do their eyes. Fun fact.
That's
about babies.
So true.
But good luck to the Giannini Blake baby and future name.
I did like Gigi's pregnancy couture.
Yeah.
I thought she looked amazing. The matching bedazzled gloves. She went for it. I loved it.
It reminded me a little bit of Phaedra's look on the Traitors finale.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's why I was thinking so much about the gloves.
Yeah.
I had just seen them on Phaedra.
I'm obsessed with Phaedra's gloves. And then we turn to the recent cast who are up on stage. And Jeremy, of course, is in a Hawaiian shirt and a white suit.
So bad, it's shocking.
I mean, I will say this. Someone told him to put a little product in his hair and brush it to the side instead of the sort of feathery, straightforward look that he was doing with his bangs. And I'm glad that someone finally told him to do that.
The hair was fine. I was like, men should have stage makeup applied.
Yeah, he looks pretty lights, wan.
He looks gaunt.
He looks peaked. He looks like an English orphan.
He does look like an English orphan. He's like, he looked ill.
Boy a second helping of porridge. I have to say the white probably did not help.
Like, I don't in think addition the color to the lighting scheme was for him.
He's like, I want to look gone washed out.
Yeah. If he was going to go for a Hawaiian shirt, then pick the deep color.
Yes.
For the suit. Like, he should have come out in a pink suit. Jeremy, yeah, we have a lot of notes for you.
Yeah, you don't deserve our personal advice, but professional, we do have it.
Stylistically.
Also, he is on a couch with Jess, and he is sitting normally on the couch, and she is scooted as far over as she can possibly scoot. Poor Jess. Very obvious she is trying not to be anywhere close to him.
She has her back, like, cheated away from him. She's like, do not confuse me for being close to this man.
We're not a pair.
In any spiritual way.
We're not a set. You don't need a body language expert to read Jess's body language. I honestly, this whole reunion is like the easiest text ever for a body language expert. There's a lot going on. Sarah Ann immediately comes out because Jeremy reveals, yes, he has been dating someone since the show. And here she is. She comes out absolutely doused in body glitter a full prom updo from like straight out of 2006. I know. I'm at prom right now.
Yeah, like that. The color of her dress is basically the color of my prom dress. And it was the prommiest Jessica McClintock prom dress. This is not a look for a 30-year-old woman.
No. I mean, here's the thing. You can wear the prommy dress, but then you have to do something with your hair to break that look up.
Right. You can't do the full.
You can't just dress like a 17-year-old girl. Like,
it's really a 17-year-old girl from 2005. Like, yes. I'm sorry. I thought it was really bad. I was like, their stylist does not like them.
I just found it distracting because every time that she really got into it, her whole updo would wobble. And I just found myself staring at it and remembering the last time I got a prom updo.
I know.
And how I would never do that to myself again.
Yeah, I was like, Sarah Ann, you are a millennial. You should recall the trauma of living through this aesthetic.
Yeah. Yeah, this whole, like, you have to get 5,000 bobby pins holding your curls right on top of your head before you are seen in public at a dance. And she reveals that they've been together since the jet ski incident of 2023, and they live together now. Also, when she comes out, they kiss, and you can hear someone saying, not the kiss.
Also, there are no claps when she comes out. It's like the most tepid claps from the audience. It's like,
here she is, Sarah Ann.
It's so awkward, and every single cast member has a disgusted face on. Like, you can tell that everyone in this cast is good with each other except for these two. Like, even Trevor is on better terms with all of them.
Is he?
He seems to be. I mean, maybe not now.
I mean, I guess in a sense, like, ultimately, socially, Trevor didn't do much damage to the group.
Right.
Even Chelsea at least picked someone else. So
that's the thing.
So
I think at the end of the day, they're all sort of like, well, Trevor, that's kind of pathetic, and you're getting really hammered, so you don't need it from us. Whereas Jeremy and Sarah Ann, like, did crime to the group dynamic.
Yeah. And yet they want to be treated as, like, part of – they're like, we're just like all the rest of you couples. And they're like, no, you're not.
No.
Get away from us. Jeremy – denies that he was engaged when he applied. He says everyone he dated was aware that he had been engaged, which was a big bone of contention. And fortunately, not just Sarah Ann, but Laura is here to confirm this because she has zoomed in to the reunion from Barcelona.
Yes, Barcelona. I really wish that she had been there in person, but I get it. She had to be in Barcelona for work. And I, too, would not want to cancel a trip to Spain to sit near Jeremy.
I mean, that's the thing. I'm like, if I had to sit near Jeremy, I would plan a trip to Spain. I would be like, oh no, I have to work from Spain for the entire month. There's just no way I can get away. Oh no, darn it. I really wanted to sit next to Jeremy.
I wanted to
too.
Be so close to Jeremy. Just listened to a free preview of this week's Rich Text podcast. If you like what you heard and you want to listen to the rest of this week's podcast and our entire Rich Text back catalog, you can become a paying subscriber at clareandemma.substack.com.
If not, you can still enjoy our free weekly recommendations.
Rich Text is hosted, produced, and edited by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray.
You can find the written version of Rich Text at clareandemma.substack.com.
You can find us on Instagram at Claire and Emma Pod, and you can find our other podcast, Love to See It, over at Stitcher and wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on TikTok and Twitter at Love to See It Pod.
You can also find us individually at Claire E. Fallon and at Emma Lady Rose.
Thanks for listening.